All right, let me jump on into the Right Side Way monologue. And I'll remind you guys that every single day, the Right Side Way monologue is brought to you by attorney Stan McDonald, a partner at the law firm of Wilmer and Lee in Huntsville. And we'll tell you more about Stan McDonald here in just a few minutes. Okay, so there's been a lot of talk about eggs lately. Eggs, yep. It's like eggs are the new commodity. I mean, the lovely Charlene, she went to the store yesterday and said that they were selling eggs by the half dozen for like nearly $5. I imagine there could be like a whole shady black market of under-the-table egg sellers out there. Psst, hey buddy, you need some eggs? Meet me in the alley. I got some grade A whites for good prices. Bring cash. I mean, I can see it. I saw a guy on Facebook yesterday, said he loved his wife so much he wanted to get her something special to express his love, so he splurged on a big dozen of eggs. Huh. But really, I mean, what's the deal? Why are we short on eggs? And when we do find them, why in God's name are they so expensive? The current spike in eggs prices has allegedly been driven by a particular nasty strain of bird flu that caused the death of 20 million egg-laying chickens. And I don't mean like caused the death, I mean like they had to be exterminated. 20 million egg-laying chickens in the last quarter of 2024 alone. According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, since like early 2022, bird flu has resulted in up to 100 million chickens, turkeys, and other poultries being killed. But most of the birds were actually culled to stop the epidemic. They've been egg-laying hens, causing the availability of eggs then to plummet and the prices to soar. Okay. So Kevin Hassett, director of the Trump White House's Economic Council, he told CBS News' Face the Nation a few weeks ago that the Biden plan was just to kill chickens, and they spent billions of dollars just randomly killing chickens within a perimeter wherever they found a sick chicken. And that's true. The U.S. and many other countries have what they call a stamping out policy for bird flu. And right now, there are no plans to truly change the policy, although Trump has said that it needs to be changed. Well, the Biden administration officials, they had defended the culling approach as the best way to contain outbreaks. It's a fast-spreading virus. I mean, it is. But you have to also wonder whether maybe government's going a bit overboard here. I mean, are we seeing big government take a sledgehammer to a problem that could be solved with a scalpel? Well, there's now talk of funding research to deal with the problem differently. There's an openness to changing the policy, like with pilot programs around the country that might help avoid culling infected birds. And some poultry farmers are willing to try. But again, here's the thing, and here's my bigger picture. When government gets involved, it can get crazy, right? And it reminded me of a story about a guy who finally pushed back on some crazy farming regulations. So full credit to Senator Mike Lee, who told the story that I'm about to relate to you. Just a normal guy with a small farm, one man named Roscoe. Roscoe, I like that name. You need to know his story. The guy's name was Roscoe Filburn. He was a farmer from Ohio, and he found himself in the crosshairs of one of the most absurd federal overreaches in history. It's a tale of government control over the most basic of American freedoms, y'all, just growing your own crops. So in 1938, Congress passed the Agricultural Adjustment Act so the feds could dictate how much wheat Americans could grow on their land. And they set quotas. I mean, they told farmers like Roscoe Filburn exactly how many acres of wheat they were allowed to plant. And notice was sent out on cards, and Roscoe Filburn was just trying to feed his livestock, though, feed his family, keep some for seeds. So he planted 23 acres, not because he wanted to flood the market, but because he needed it for his farm survival. And the government said, no, you can only plant 11.1 acres. So they slapped him with a fine for the extra wheat that he grew. Wheat that never left his farm, never entered interstate commerce. You heard that right. They fined him for trying to be self-sufficient. Now, this isn't about commerce. It's about control, folks. Filburn took this to court, and he argued that his wheat was not for sale. It was for his own use, and thus it wasn't within Congress's power to regulate it. But the Supreme Court said, and here's the quote, quote, even if your wheat is just for you, and it never entered interstate commerce, the feds can regulate it. Because if everyone did what you did, they said, it would affect the interstate wheat market. Oh, for the love! Well, the ruling in the case that became known as Wickard v. Filburn, it expanded federal powers under the Commerce Clause to an insane degree. It meant the government could regulate pretty much anything, especially when it relates to farms, even non-economic activity entirely within one state. So, you know, that might in some theoretical way affect interstate commerce, but not really. Well, here's the kicker. This was not about protecting consumers. It was not about ensuring fair trade. It was about controlling supply and demand to manipulate prices. It's federal bureaucrats deciding that you can't grow extra wheat, even if you just need it for yourself, because it might make prices drop. The sheer audacity of this, to tell an American farmer that he can't grow food for his own use on his own land, is like a mockery of liberty. It's government overreach at its finest, wrapped up in legalese to sound like it's for the greater good. Look, we need to remember this story when we talk about government regulation. Think about the egg prices right now. I mean, if they can control how much wheat you grow, or whether your chickens have to be killed, they can control anything. We got to start pushing back against this kind of overreach and restore the freedoms that make America, America. So next time someone tells you that regulation is, you know, just for the public interest, the greater good, just remember Roscoe Filburn. Remember how the government will go to dictate, how far the government will go to dictate, control, and find something as fundamental as growing wheat on your own land. In 82 years after that Supreme Court decision in Wickard v. Filburn, the federal government remains mired down in nearly every aspect of our human existence, including the minute details of farming. Using that Commerce Clause, and y'all, it's still going on. I mean, like, all the time. Take the story of Amos Miller. Amos Miller? So now we went from Roscoe to Amos. Amos Miller, an Amish farmer in Pennsylvania who suffered a raid by authorities on his farm last year. Pray tell, what crime did the Amish farmer named Amos commit? He was selling milk. That's right, milk. Amos Miller runs an organic farm in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, but he only sells his products to a private membership association. In other words, people basically pay a fee like joining a gym or a country club, and they show up at Amos's farm and they get their gallon of raw, unpasteurized milk because it's supposed to be exempt from government regulations. But no. The state agriculture department in Pennsylvania alleged that his products had somehow been connected to an E. coli outbreak in two other states. Alleged. Those reports led to a raid of Miller's farm in early January of 2024, followed by a lawsuit from the agriculture department. His attorney, Amos's attorney, says it never happened. The one death from another state was a woman who died of cancer and never even drank his milk. So Amos Miller, the Amish farmer, sued the state of Pennsylvania, and just 45 days ago, the appeals court ruled that the Pennsylvania farmer Amos Miller can continue selling unpasteurized raw milk outside of state lines. The ruling says the sales can continue while Pennsylvania can still pursue its lawsuit against him if they want to, and ruling that Miller faces substantial harm to his business if he's blocked from being able to sell. He's been shut down for a year. But not to be deterred, the Pennsylvania Attorney General's office, they actually argued that if the court holds that the Constitution's Commerce Clause, there it is again, the Commerce Clause, prevents Pennsylvania from regulating the milk and sold in its borders, that other states have to be forced to erect trade barriers. And in other words, we got to handle this, Judge, because it's for the greater good. Look, I know that farms have to do certain things right. I know there are instances in which it is necessary to regulate things for safety and consistency. And yet I get really leery of government action that comes down hard and fast on the little guy because supposedly it's for the greater good. So one chicken gets bird flu, so we wipe out millions and change the entire egg market nationwide. Look, y'all, we put a man on the moon. So surely we can figure out a better way to handle the bird flu. One Amish guy quietly milks his cows and sells them to people who know what they're buying when they buy it. Nobody was duped. They actually paid a membership to be allowed to access unpasteurized milk. You would have thought he was running an illegal moonshine operation and secretly putting it all in baby bottles. But you ask any farmer, though. Ask any farmer what they have to go through just to be allowed to farm. Doesn't matter whether it's row cropping or cattle or poultry. Ask any farmer what they go through with all the regulations. Everything from how much water they can use, how to fertilize, what crops have to be destroyed, how much they're allowed to grow, market forces, imports, exports, cheap subsidies of foreign agribusiness products flooding the market. It's hard being a farmer. Why are we making it so much harder? Oh, that's right. Because it's for the greater good. Well, in my opinion, Roscoe Filburn was a hero. Roscoe is all of us. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way.